A church, this one is tough that we're going to be discussing tonight because there are many varying opinions and positions that people hold on it, and passions really run very high considering it. But I tell you, I am challenging you tonight, as I do in all of these tough topics, to try your best to set all of those things aside with an open heart and with an open Bible. Let's see what God says about the correction of our children. In Proverbs 23 and verse number 13, the Bible says, withhold not correction from your child. Withhold not correction from the child. Now, if you haven't already, I know that you are about to read ahead in that verse to see, even silently where you're sitting, to see what the rest of that verse says. And that's okay. But I want to challenge you not to get ahead of me, because what you're about to see, in some cases, it may raise an eyebrow, and it may bring immediate pause, it may bring surprise, and it may even bring concern in some of our minds. But again, please don't get ahead of me. We're going to get to all of that in just a little while in its proper context. But can I say this to you? I want to remind you that this is still the same Bible that showed us that we were sinners. This is still the very same Bible that showed us that we could be saved. This is the same Bible that showed us that we didn't have to go to hell and we could go to heaven after we got saved. This is the same Bible that corrects us when we are wrong in our Christian living. And aren't you grateful that this is the same Bible that lets us know that we serve a God who is patient and a God full of mercy, and He never gives up on us? Now, if we can trust Him for all of these things that I just labeled to you, don't you think that we can trust Him with the correction for our children? And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight, wisdom for correction. And it is a tough topic for today's church. While patrolling the streets, a rookie police officer got the idea that he needed to pull everybody over and give them a citation for every infraction that he could find. And when one car came racing through town, he immediately turned on his lights and ran and pulled him over. The young driver of that car jumped out of the car and tried to explain to the rookie police officer what his emergency was and why that he was going so quickly. But that young rookie police officer, he perceived it as a threat to him, and he immediately threw cuffs on him and carried that young driver off to jail. Every time the young driver tried to speak, the officer, he immediately exercised the authority of his badge and he demanded total silence. After making the arrest, he carried him back to the jail and he began a very aggressive monologue with him, his new prisoner. And he said to him, he said, "Lucky for you that my chief is at his daughter's wedding and isn't here, and he'll be in a good mood when he does get back, flyboy." To which the young prisoner replied and said, "I wouldn't count on it, Barney. I'm the groom." "I'm the groom," he said. That was a young, overzealous police officer who was flexing the muscle of his authority. Wouldn't you agree with me? He needed a little bit of wisdom for his correction. Now, folks, any of us that have ever raised children, or in the middle of raising children, or you're about to raise children, and certainly teenagers, you know that we need a little bit of wisdom on how to do it, especially in this world that we are living in. And those of us that have done it and are doing it, we also know that we can look back and we can see many, many times that we were just like that young rookie police officer, and we were overzealous in the correction that we were giving them. As the world continues to change, there are various positions on this. We think about how our parents raised us with correction. We think in our modern America culture and society now, and be it our upbringing or being the school system or different governmental regulations and agencies, over the years, we have seen a dramatic shift in the way that parents correct their children. And in many cases, that is a result of people who have abused God's order in it. Correcting children is actually a big deal in our day. So once again, I want to say, as I have in all of these tough topics, there are going to be some that think that I went too far. There's going to be some that are going to think that I didn't go far enough. Let me remind you that we are committed in this series to speak when the Bible speaks, and we're going to be silent when the Bible is silent. And my request to you on this Sunday night is to trust your Bible. Amen. Just trust your Bible and see what God has to say about wisdom for correction. You can write these things down and we'll work our way through it. And I'm praying the Lord will help me to convey this truth to you in an appropriate way. First of all, I want you to think with me about how we see correction that is required. Now, I want you to understand that. Correction that is required. But you see, to be a good God-honoring parent, God requires us to do a few things when it comes to the correction of our children, or should I say, the raising of our children. We are required to feed. We are required to clothe, to house, and to care for every need of our children. We are required to educate in America, are we not? We're required to educate our children. We are required to teach them the truth of the Word of God. We do that, of course, through sitting down in our home and teaching them the Bible. And we do that, of course, through church attendance and getting them in Sunday school, getting them in Great Commission clubs, and getting them in youth and all of these things. That is your responsibility, parent, to do that. On and on we could go, and things that we are required to do with our children and for our children, but have you ever considered that God requires us, when it comes to this matter, if you're going to be a God-honoring parent, to raise your children in a way that correction is one of the central focuses of that. Now, the Bible first lets us know that we are required by God to correct our children. Did you know that? You have a mandate from God that you are to correct your children and you are to do it God's way. Now, many of the verses that we are going to be studying on this Sunday night, they are pulled out of the book of Proverbs. I'm really reading the first half of them right now, but make note of them because I'm going to come back and read the second half of those verses and pull it all together here in just a little while. Now, if you know much about the book of Proverbs, then you know that it is God's book where He is giving us wisdom in very areas of life, in our Christian living. And always remember, it of course is in the full canon of Scripture, therefore it is divinely inspired. Our text verse again is in verse number 13 where it says, withhold not correction from the child. Now if you're looking in your Bible, and if you write in your Bible, you can underscore that word withhold, for it is a very strong word. It's a very interesting word. And the word in the Hebrew, it is actually the word mawnah. It is M-A-W-N-A-H in the English spelling. And it actually speaks of to deny, to keep back, or to refuse. In other words, when you read that verse of Scripture, it is telling us don't deny, don't keep back, or don't, refrain from the correction of your children. Parents, no matter how your parents raised you, no matter what our modern American culture may say today, what Dr. Seuss says, what Dr. Phil says, what the school systems and the school counselors say, or various government agencies that are now interjecting all of their thoughts and all of their opinions in this matter, do not overemphasize those things over the Word of God. For if you believe in the inspiration and the inerrancy of the Word of God, you need to know, kind mother, you need to know, kind father, that God requires you to correct your children God's way if you are going to be totally, thoroughly, completely, and altogether right with God. Can I give you another scripture? It's in Proverbs chapter 29 and it's verse number 17. Correct thy son. This is not a suggestion. It is not a request. It is saying you need to correct your child. God is requiring us to do this. No matter what. You see, friends, it does not matter if our child promises that they will never do it again. If they did wrong, you are required by God to correct them. It doesn't matter if it's not as bad what they've done as it could have been. Have you heard that one before? No. If they did wrong, you are required by God to correct them. It does not matter if they've got the biggest and most beautiful blue eyes that you have ever seen. And when you go go to correct them. They go to batting them, as every little girl is going to do to you, Daddy. It doesn't matter if they've done wrong. No matter how bad your heart is melting, you are required by God to correct them. Now, of course, I say that because I've got two blue-eyed little girls, and I know exactly what they try to do. I've dealt with all kinds of those type things. But Mom and Dad, let me tell you, they are trying to do their best to avoid correction. I don't blame them at all for that. You did it when you were a child. I tried to do it, but my blue eyes never mattered for some reason, but my sisters did. It just wasn't fair. But God requires you to correct your children. Parents, what I'm encouraging you to do tonight is stop listening and stop leaning on all the worldly forms of wisdom that are being thrust into your face right now. Set all of those things aside and drop your anchor on the wisdom of the Word of God. You need to know that God requires you to correct your children. It does not matter what the government says. God requires you to correct your children. It doesn't matter, listen, what the school system says. God requires you to correct your children. The neighbors or anybody else, God requires you to correct your children. You are correct. You are required by God. Why, though? Well, it is for the fact that being required for guidance. Required by God and required for guidance. Write it down. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 15, the first part of the verse. Listen to this. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and every parent here can say amen. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. Now, the verse is leading up to that statement that we just read in verse number 15. That is Proverbs 22 and verse number 15. It is telling about all of the snares that come up in life. Many of those are the snares that come up in the life of a child as they are growing older. And he is letting us know that foolishness is in the heart of the child, and they are naturally, as a result, going to be vulnerable to all of these snares. Now, this word foolishness that we just spoke of, it means literally silliness. It means folly. And again, every parent can say amen right there. In other words, silliness and folly is bound in the heart of the child. They have to be taught. All of us who are raising children or teenagers, we know that there is silliness that comes out of them. And we know that silliness will run to folly. That folly, of course, it's all under the umbrella of foolishness. And we've got to get that straightened out in their life. We have got to correct them in that before it gets out of hand. We have got to guide them in God's correction. Now, a child needs correction. Wouldn't you agree with that? A child needs guidance through correction. And the God-ordained place for that guidance, listen to me, parents, it is not in the school system. And you don't need to hesitate to tell them that. It is not in the school system. It is not in the parent next door. It is not in the children's director or the youth pastor or anybody in the church. Now listen, they can be resources and assets in that done under the authority and with the approval of the parent. I'm not suggesting that they can't be, but you need to know that the authority of the discipline of children and the correction of children, it is to be done under the authority of the parent, and it is to be done in the home. That is the purpose of it. If a child is left to his own devices, and the Bible uses that term, if a child is left to his own devices, or if we get this out of order in the correction of our children, and we do not biblically guide them in correction, do you know what it's going to do? It is going to cause them to be guided by somebody else. How many of us know a story that we could tell time and time again, because a mama wasn't a mama and a daddy wasn't a daddy, somebody else guided a child down the wrong road. Somebody's going to get your kid, okay? Somebody's going to take them one direction. It is your job, Mom, your job, Dad, to guide that child in the right way. If you don't do it, somebody else is going to do it. And if that doesn't happen, they themselves are going to attempt to do it on their own. And we ought to know that never works for anybody. I could tell again many, many stories about young people, teenagers, they did not have godly correction in their life, and they decided they were going to go their own direction. And do you know in every case that I can think of off the top of my head, and I was thinking about it today, it has led them to detention in schools, it has led them to recovery institutions, it has led them to prison, and in many cases has led them to the morgue. God requires your guidance, mom and dad. God requires you to correct that child. Bottom line, guiding our children by God's correction, it's going to keep our children out of sin. It's going to help our children stay on the right path, and it's going to save mom and dad all kinds of heartache as they move forward in life. So don't you get it? You and I have no choice. We are required by God to correct our children. Correction that is required. But secondly, I want you to notice, not only correction that is required, I hope you've got that in your heart. If you're going to be right with God, you have no choice. Just dig your heels in. Doesn't matter if your kid likes it or not. Dig your heels in. You're required by God to correct your children. Not only correction that is required, get it now, correction that is right and reasonable. Correction that is right and reasonable. When I was a boy, I had two boy cousins. I still have two boy cousins. Dear friends of mine, I was texting with them back here in the office before church tonight, and I snapped a picture of what I'm about to tell you so they could see it and they could get a little laugh. And we were going back and forth about it on text. Stephen and Jeremy was their name, and they lived up in Kentucky where my mama was from and her family. Stephen and Jeremy and myself, we didn't live there, but it was the highlight of our year whenever we would come to visit Granny for us to get together because we loved baseball. I mean, we loved baseball. We ate baseball. We slept baseball. We'd sit at Granny's table or the bar up there, and we would actually play baseball with our peas and green beans. And the green bean was the bat and the pea, and one would throw it across, the other one tried to hit it with the green bean until Granny called us. We loved baseball. We'd play baseball all day long, wouldn't we, out in the backyard of Granny and Granddad's house. And then we'd come in and we'd play it all evening long down in the basement. They had a finished basement down there. We loved baseball. And so we would play down there all the time. And Granny would always let us do it. But every time that she would warn us, don't break anything else. Well, one year, we'd had a particularly bad year with breaking things. We come in from outside that day. We got our baths from playing outside. And we had our dinner. And we sat and we watched a little TV. Come 7 o'clock or so, we were ready to go downstairs and play indoor baseball again. And so we got ready to go down. Granny, where are you boys going? We're going down to play baseball, Granny, downstairs. And Scoot pointed her bony finger right in our face. And she threatened us with our life and letting us know, you don't need to break anything else. Okay, Granny, we won't do it. And so we make our way downstairs. Downstairs, we played baseball in the basement with a plastic bat. I can still see. Remember that big red bat that we had? A plastic bat and a rolled up pair of socks. That's how we played in the basement. Well, Jeremy, he was my youngest cousin, the youngest of the two brothers. Stephen and myself, we always made Jeremy play by himself. We were the two oldest. We were on a team. Jeremy played by himself. We said, we'll give you the big league players that are stars, okay, and we'll just be the underdogs. And he always did it, thinking that was going to help. Poor fella never won a game. One day, old Jeremy hung a curve sock to me. And let me tell you what, I annihilated it. Right into that, you remember by the bathroom and the hallway, there was those hanging lights of shells that came down right there at Granny's house. He hung that curved sock to me. I annihilated. It went right into that hanging light fixture. It sounded like an atomic bomb went off. I don't know if you were there then or not, but you could hear it all the way through the neighborhood. Immediately, we heard from upstairs Granny's footsteps, and she was coming after us. And let me tell you, you could sense the fact that she was as mad as a wet hen. She was coming downstairs, and she had blood in her eyes. And so Granddad, Mama, Aunt Kathy, and Daddy, they saw the blood in her eyes, and you could all of a sudden hear their footsteps coming after them. They were going to try to intercept Granny before she got to us and drew that blood. We heard her coming. And so we did everything we could to get out of the way to avoid the wrath of Granny. I think I jumped into the dryer to hide. I think Stephen jumped out the window. Old Jeremy was trying his best to climb the chimney to get out of the way from old Granny. Granny got down, and let me tell you, she was the one that had the bat in her hands when she made it down there. My point is simply this. Sometimes our kids drive us nuts. Sometimes our kids, they just make us so, so mad. And we know that we are required by God to guide them in the right direction through this matter of correction. But you better be real, real careful that you do it the right and the reasonable way. Correction must first of all be done reasonable and right in mindset. It's got to be reasonable and right in mindset. Now, just like my granny or anybody else that has ever raised any children, you know how easy it is to try to correct your children out of anger. In the heat of the moment, they've done something foolishly, silly, folly, as the Bible translates it. They've done something that way, you told them 1,000 times, don't do that, but yet they keep on doing it, and anger gets in you, and you'll run down there in a hurry. You'll want to get them, and you'll want to correct them, and you'll end up doing it out of pure flesh. You'll end up doing it out of pure anger if you're not careful. But friends, if you want to train up a child in the way he should go, you cannot do that. Do you remember last year we talked about that scripture, training up a child in the way he should go? And do you remember how that word train up, it means literally a narrowing? So in other words, as your child gets older and as you continue to develop in your scriptural understanding and your knowledge, listen to me, this isn't popular, but your ideas should narrow. As the world gets worse and your child is exposed to more things, the correction should narrow a bit. Training up, narrowing up a child in the way that they should go. Now, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4 says this. It's very important when it comes to this matter of correcting our children in anger. It says, provoke not your children to what? Wrath. Provoke not your children to wrath. Now that word provoke, it actually means to us to stir up. And the word is actually giving the idea of something that does exist within, but it is inactive. It is sitting dormant, so to speak. It is subdued within the life of that young person, of that child. You see, when our mindset is wrong in the correction of our children, and we react in a way, in many cases, by the way, of just innocent things that they'd done, they didn't mean to do it, it was just mistakes that they had made, and when we react to our children in an anger type of way, what we are doing is exposing something, follow me, we are exposing something in ourselves that someone else way back years ago stirred up within us. It is something that was sitting dormant within us. And we are exposing that to our children. And the more that we expose that to our children, the more we are stirring up that same anger that was sitting dormant within our child. The more that that bitch was inactive begins to stir up. You've seen it, haven't you? As you're going through the ball field or something and you're stirring up dust. It was sitting dormant. It wasn't causing any trouble. But the more that you stir it up, there's a cloud of dust. It's the same principle that is given to us. The more that we respond to our children in anger, we are stirring up that very same anger within our children. Are you listening to me? The reason many children develop an anger problem is because we have showed them how to do it. And in many cases, the things that I just mentioned that were so innocently done, that is convicting to my heart, because what parent has not responded in anger to their child? We've got our mindset of correcting children in our society right now so upside down. Why? Because we are teaching our children to sin in anger through our own anger, and then we get angry at them when they respond to us in anger. Do you see how the buck always stops with mom and dad? It always stops with mom and dad. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, you've just got to step back. Sometimes you've just got to walk away from a situation. I got permission to share this, but a few years ago, my daughter drove our car into the house. Melissa got the blame for it when everybody saw the dents in the car. Yeah, most of y'all saw it. We look back on that now and we can laugh. We don't think about the $800 that it cost to fix it. Listen, to the grace of God, I got out of the car and I walked away, didn't I? Just walked away. I can't deal with this right now. I was yelling, stop, 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 stop! Right into the house. Somehow, this is a picture of some level of sanctification in my own life, I guess. I got up and I walked away. Got out of the car, should I say. Wiped the blood off of my head and got the glass out of my lap and and walked away. To God be the glory for that. But here's the thing. Every parent here has been in a situation, maybe not that extreme or whatever, but every parent here has been in a situation you just want to react in anger. And you'll do it in anger if you're not careful. But Sooks, you cannot do that. You've got to have the right and the reasonable response. And it all starts right here in the mind. When we have a wrong mindset about this and we respond in anger, do you know what we're doing? We're just simply telling our children that we're not right with God. We're telling our spouse we're not right with God. We're not walking in the Spirit of God. You may say, my goodness, it's hard to walk in the Spirit of God when they do something so drastically foolish, folly, silliness. I get it. But our response to all of these things is a test of whether we're right with the Lord. And you need to understand, they're watching every move. They're listening to every word, and as we respond in anger, we are simply stirring up something that is sitting dormant with them and creating an anger problem that they themselves are going to have to deal with in their own lives. Are you understanding what I'm saying on this Sunday night? We must be reasonable in mindset, and that will allow us to be right and reasonable in method. Right and reasonable in method. So you're asking right now, what is God's method of correction or discipline for our children? Write the scripture down. It is Proverbs chapter 22, and it is verse number 15. God has a lot to say about correcting our children, and here it is. We started the verse. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. Do you remember what that word means? Foolishness? Silliness. Folly, it is bound. It's there. You don't have to teach it. It's there. It's bound in the heart of the child. But, the Bible says, the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. Do you need me to read that again? The rod of correction shall drive it far from them. Now, that word correction that is given to us, it is the word musar, and it actually means chastisement. So it is saying the rod of chastisement, it is going to drive it far from them. Another scripture that I want you to write down is Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 15, where it says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. In other words, that rod, it gives wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. The rod bringeth wisdom, but when the rod is not present, it bringeth the mother, it bringeth the parent to shame. Amen. Can I challenge you on this Sunday night? Do not be afraid of that word rod that is given to us. Remember, we're studying the Bible. Are you still with me? Okay, I'm in the Bible right now. It's all right. The word rod, it actually means, quite literally, it means a stick for punishment. Did you hear that? It is translated to us a stick for punishment. Now, we need to notice that it is a rod or it is a stick for punishment. It is not a rod or a stick for abuse. Amen. Punishing a child is for the greater good of the child. Abusing a child is for the self-satisfaction of the parent. Amen. You've got to have the right and the reasonable approach. You've got to be able to see the difference in the two. Now, when the Bible speaks of a parent correcting a child with respect to what we all know is spanking, it is not referring to abusing the child in any way, but it is rather letting the child know that they have done something wrong. It's letting the child know that you're getting their attention. They've done something wrong. That child is under the authority of somebody else. That authority is you as the parent or the guardian, and that you are operating under the authority of God, a higher authority of God, and you're letting that child know that there are consequences for their action. If that authority is not established at a very early age with that child, listen to me, you will find that they will never respect any other form of authority that ever comes into their life on down the road. They just won't do it. If you don't teach, what the Lord's really telling us here is if you as the parent don't do your job in correcting your child, you are doing a disservice to the rest of society. God's given you the requirement to do this, to guide that child. We sit around and we fuss about the society that we are in. I wouldn't let my daughter go down into Atlanta this week because of downtown Atlanta, because of the circumstances that are going on right now in our major American cities. You can say I disagree with that. That's fine. You're not her parent. That's what I felt like was right. I don't criticize you for your decisions. You don't criticize me. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just telling you that's the decision that her and I, Melissa and I, made. We felt like that was the right thing to do. Why is that a problem? It's a problem because there's some mamas and some daddies in the previous generation who did not train up their children. They did not correct their children. And therefore, society as a whole in this great nation is now paying the price for a bunch of moms and dads who dropped the ball. And when you do a disservice to the society, you are doing a disservice to your child because, again, it's going to land in detention. It's going to land them in recovery institutions. It is going to land them in imprisonment, and it could land them in death, in the morgue. Can I challenge you for something? Would you let me do this? You need to be very, very careful with this matter of time out and grounding your children. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. There can be a place for it, parent. I'm not criticizing you for that. I've done it myself. I'm not saying there's anything. What I'm telling you is you need to be careful about taking non-biblical forms of punishment and replacing them with biblical forms of punishment. Of such we are talking about right here this evening, the rod of correction. That's how you guide your children. Amen. I thought about titling this message tonight, Rearing from the Rear. I really did. Or Spank You Very Much. I really did. In all seriousness, I'm just having fun with her right now, but in all seriousness. In a group of this size that is in this building tonight, and perhaps some that are even listening online or will eventually listen online, listen to me. There are no doubt many, many people that have access to this that will have a problem with the whole idea of spanking your children. And here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. Your reasoning for it is not, you listening? It is not irresponsible. Your reasoning for it, listen, in your mind, it is not wrong. Your reasoning for it, in your mind, it just makes good sense. But here's what you need to understand. Much of your reasoning and your apprehension and in your initial thoughts of whether that's the right thing to do or not, it is based off of a bad experience that you've had as a child growing up. It's based off of a bad experience that you've seen some other child that was faced with. And it is based off of an experience like that that you are now soured to the idea that I'm talking to you about biblical correction. But here's what you need to understand. You cannot allow a lost world's mistakes. People from a lost world, lost moms and dads who know nothing of the guidance of the control of the Spirit of God in their life. You cannot allow somebody that has abused God's order in something and done you wrong, or somebody that is close to you in the past wrong, to dictate you doing right. Because they do not understand what it is like to be controlled by the Spirit of God. They don't get it. There is no way that they can accurately correct their children, biblically speaking, because the Spirit of God dwells not in their heart. We cannot base our approach off of a world that is lost. And the mistakes that they made, everything that's done. My heart goes out to people that have found themselves in those situations. It really does. But there comes a point when you've got to set that stuff aside and you've got to say, I'm going to trust my Bible. I'm going to trust what God says. Yes, it's true. My parents may have made a mistake. Yes, it's true. Those neighbors next door may have made a mistake. Yes, it's true. The rumors I've heard about this or that in that home, it has made a mistake, but I cannot base right on people who have done wrong, who know not God. Write Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 13 down again. We started with it. Withhold not correction from the child, but if thou beatest him with the rod, goodness gracious, he shall not die. Did you get the simplicity of that? If thou beatest him with the rod, beatest? Now, a world that looks at that, they say, you're talking about abusing children. Know your Bible. That is not what the Bible is saying. That word beatus, it just simply means to strike how? By punishment. Strike by punishing. Abusing a child can cause that child to die. Punishing a child will not cause that child to die. Doing so under the control of the Holy Spirit and with the authority of the Word of God. It does not prevent any form of abuse in any way whatsoever. But again, it is the Hebrew word nawkaw, N-A-W-K-A-W. It permits the use, listen, of an instrument of correction. Can I put it simply? It is applying the rod of correction to the seat of learning. It is applying the rod of correction to the seat of learning. Everybody's got a seat, and God made it a certain way for a purpose. Everybody has got a seat. Now, I emphasize that word instrument because I do not believe, and I'm going to share with you what I believe here. I do not believe that it is wise to correct our children with respect to spanking them with our hands. I just don't believe that's the best thing to do. Wisdom for correction. I remember time and time again, my mother, she would never spank me. When she caught me, and she could actually spank me, she would never spank me with her hands. And this is why she said, because I never want my babies to look at my hands and see anything other than love in my hands. And so when the Bible talks about a rod, he's telling us, use an instrument of correction. these hands are meant to put Neosporin on the cuts and on the scrapes. These hands are meant to wash their clothes. These hands are meant to help them take in their baths when they're young. These hands are meant in feeding them. These hands are meant in protecting them. I don't put my hands on my children, but I will put my hands on somebody else who puts their hands on my children or something else on them. Make sure you're careful. These hands ought to be instruments of love. Just trust your Bible. Just trust your Bible. It's the same Bible that showed you were a sinner. The same Bible that showed you didn't have to go to hell. The same Bible that corrects you. The same Bible that shows you that you serve a good, merciful God. And He's patient with you. Now the next time you have to correct your children, and you have to do it in this realm, can I encourage you to do something? Take the Word of God. Take the Scriptures and sit down with them. And you've made a note of these verses and thumb through the Proverbs and say, hey, dear son, hey, dear daughter, dear child, this is what the Bible says. And I'm going to do this because God said that I must do this. I am required to do this. And then you administer the discipline. And then when you are finished with the discipline, you take that baby and you put that baby in your arms and you hug that baby's neck and you let them know that the only reason that I did this is because I love you. And God said that I've got to do it. And then you're going to find the third thought. It isn't only correction that is required. Correction that is right and reasonable, but it is correction that is rewarding. Correction that is rewarding. You see, when God's required correction is done God's right and God's reasonable way, understand it'll yield three things. First of all, it'll be a reward of hope. A reward of hope. Proverbs 23, verse number 13 again, and then on into 14. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, that instrument of correction, he shall not die. I read that again because we've just learned how that we are to biblically correct our children. Now understand this. Every child still has a free will to do what is right and what is wrong as that child grows up. But a godly parent correcting that child in a godly way, they will find hope because God has assured us in this same Bible that told us we could be saved, this same Bible that told us we didn't have to go to hell, this same Bible that corrects us when we're wrong, and the same Bible that lets us know we serve a merciful God who never gives up on us and He is patient. We can find hope in it because in this same Bible He has said that it'll keep our children out of sin. He has said that it'll keep our children out of trouble. Read further in verse number 14 of our text, Proverbs 23. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt, here it is, deliver his soul from what? From hell. Does that get any of our attention? Can I translate it this way without doing any damage to the integrity of the Scripture? Thou shalt strike him with a rod of punishment. Correction, discipline. And as a result of that, you will deliver his soul. That thing that will live forever and that nobody can reach but God. But that's your responsibility in it. God can only do it. But your responsibility is this, deliver his soul from hell. That Hebrew word for hell, it is Sheol, and it actually means Hades. It is referring to the world of the dead. Correcting our children in God's mindset and with God's message, it could very well instill enough of a fear of the authority of an almighty God for them in eternity that they will one day have to stand before, that they will fall on their knees in humble repentance and say, because of the way Mama and Daddy taught me that somebody else was in charge, I don't want to face the ultimate authority of the universe. one day. I want to give my heart to Jesus. And I want to get saved. Because mom and dad corrected me God's way. It is so easy, ladies and gentlemen, to criticize these forms of correction. But can I tell you again? Trust your Bible. They are God's forms of correction. And if we can trust God with this wisdom, we can trust Him for anything. He will be able to do things in His infinite wisdom that we cannot see in the heart of that child, and we cannot understand, and we cannot explain. But He can deliver that child from a whole lot of trouble and an eternal hell. And it'll bring a reward of hope. It'll bring a reward of happiness. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 11. Write it down. It says, "Now no chastening, no punishment, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but it is grievous." Talking about the parent here, that guardian. "Nevertheless," he then says, "afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." In other words, if you correct your child God's way, it'll grow righteous fruit in that child's life. You see, our hesitancy to correct our child in these forms of manners, it is not uncommon. It is normal in our human nature. It is a natural thing to do because we don't want to do it. It hurts us. It's something that we just don't want to engage ourselves in. But that is all part of what we have got to work our way through. And that's part of the reward process that one day we will experience. There is nothing greater than as a result of parent godly correction, God's methods, God's mind, our mindset, His method, and one day seeing that child give their life to Christ and being baptized as a result. What a picture of grace that really is. Another scripture, Proverbs 29 and verse number 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Oh, that child may wear you out right now. You can't keep up with them. I mean, they wide open all the time, and you long for the day that there'll be some rest. But I tell you what, if you correct your children God's way, He said there's going to come rest. Rest will come one day. And beyond that, He goes on to say that it's going to bring delight unto your soul. If we do this God's way, we will have the reward of hope, the reward of happiness. Because we know we've done everything right. To the best of our ability, we've honored the Word of God, and that will bring a reward of honor. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That's Ephesians 6, verses 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. We've just learned that the way that they obey is through godly methods of correction and mindset. And the result of that will be this. Honor. That word honor, it is to prize. It is to revere. Honor thy father and mother. That's the first commandment. With promise, God says. There is a promise that comes with correcting your children. I want to be as kind as I can here. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be ugly. But some of the most ungracious and disrespectful children that I have ever met are those that never received the loving correction of God through their mom and dad. And as they have grown older, they know something in their heart and it's missing. And I've learned that as they've grown older and as they've developed in life, they will begin to resent their parents because their parents did them wrong in raising them. But on the flip side of that, the ones who are guided through godly mindset and methods of correction, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 31, it's Proverbs 31, 28 to be exact, that they're going to rise up and call you blessed. And they are going to honor you. Because they'll understand when they get older, the only reason that you corrected me was because you loved me. If we want our children to do right by us in the years that we can no longer care for ourselves, we had better make sure that we do right by them in the years that we are responsible for caring for them. Tough topic, isn't it? But it's still the Word of God, and we need to embrace it. Miss Mickey, you can come on to the piano. What I'm about to read to you right now is a true story. The following article, it appeared in a newspaper, and it was titled, An Open Letter to My Parents. This was a letter that a child published in the newspaper, anonymously, to his parents. He says, I am your child. You have brought me into this world. You have raised me into what I am today. If I am not what I should be, don't be too harsh, for I am your product. And by my actions, I am just advertising the quality standard of your home. Do not point at my playmates as an example as to how I should behave. For by doing so, you are merely admitting that their parents did a better job. You say that you love me, and yet it has been years since you put your arms about me. At bedtime, and with tears in your eyes, pray to your heavenly Father to watch over me as I sleep. You seem to be more interested in my school grades than you do the condition of my eternal soul. You give me the impression that it is better to be popular than to be pure. It is better to be attractive on the outside than to have the inner beauty that comes only from one who loves the Lord. So the next time you feel like throwing your hands up and saying, I can't do anything with you, please remember, you have had the opportunity to influence my life since I was born. And that the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he departs, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. I just want to close tonight just by asking this final question. If your children published a letter in the Chattanooga Times or the Walker County Messenger about the way that you raise and correct them with a full understanding of God's Word, what would that letter to you, Mom, what would that letter to you, Dad, really say? Let's bow our heads for just a moment, just right where you're sitting there. Would you do that?